This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Texas in a bunch of college basketball headlines. Game one tomorrow, the Final Four at 4:15. Houston against Baylor, 7:30. It's going to be UCLA against Gonzaga. Of course, yesterday, Chris Beard left Texas Tech to replace Shaka Smart in Austin. Let's get to all of it. We got to fill Roy Williams' spot in North Carolina. Doug Gottlieb, friend of the show from FS1, joining us here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Doug. How you been?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing well. What do you think? Chris Beard replacing Shaka Smart. Did the Longhorns upgrade? How surprised were you to begin with that Shaka left the Longhorns for Marquette?
Not surprised at all. It's a great move by Shaka. You know, I had him on yesterday, and I thought he was pretty honest. You know, when he said, hey, look, it was kind of that, you know, Matt Cullen was a senior guard. It was good timing for me. I mean, basically, you know, Texas did a great job. It's not an easy job, but it's a great job, and it's about to get better with the new arena coming. But it does mean it's a fit for Shaka and how he wants to play. And if you can get a Marquette job, which college coaches will tell you, that's like a top five, top ten job. You're like, how is that possible? They have a top, by estimations, third biggest budget in college basketball, spent only on basketball. That's all they care about. To the Midwest, he's a Midwestern guy. I mean, grew up in Wisconsin. And, you know, the type of players you recruit at Marquette are more in line with the type of players that he was getting at VCU, maybe a little bit better than VCU, you know. Undersized bigs, athletic guys, but guys that are kind of well-traveled a little bit. I mean, that's a place where you're going to have to now piece together a roster. Whereas Texas, if you're doing it right, you know, you're getting the best kids in state every year, and then you have to, like everybody else now, you're going to have to find a way to fill your roster with some older players as well. But the bigs that you're going to get at Texas are going to be NBA caliber bigs. They're going to be younger. There's some are going to leave too early, which is what he's had. But that hurts you from playing the way he traditionally wants to play, a little faster, undersized, whatever. So I think he could have made it work at Texas. I think he could have been a juggernaut. But I think you get lured in by the, man, I can recruit whoever I want. Well, it's like, yeah, okay, but you need the type of guys to play the way you want to play. And I think that's his mistake. But anyway, not surprised he kind of reset the shot clock. And for Beard, I thought he was great at Tech. I really did. He could have stayed there probably forever. But, you know, I mean, when you coached at Austin, when you went to UT, and you know they got – I've sat with Chris watching film after big games. And he would say aloud, you know, if I had, you know, two more players, this game's not close. We win this game. And I don't know if that's true. Like, I think he's a really good coach. I think just sometimes, you know, it gets to, you know, they're just kids. You make a shot, you miss a shot. But I do know that's a general coaching thought. Is if we have better players than the other team, we're going to win, right? And you can get better players usually at Texas than you can at Tech. Plus, it's home. I know he loves the music scene as well. Like, it's not surprising. That was like the one place on earth he would leave Tech from. He really liked Tech. He really liked Kirby. He loved the way they built that new facility. He got to design it himself. But you know, Texas was the one that he really wanted.
Doug, you played this conference. Why has Texas always kind of, you know, they've been that sleeping giant. They've just never put it together.
It's a great question. I mean, it does start with people down there have to care, you know, and care doesn't mean just your checkbooks. You know, I mean, it can't just say they legit care. You know, and I think you have to find the right coach, and I think they found one. You know, I mean, I love Rick Barnes. He's a gentleman to me. He's a super nice guy. Just not a great offensive coach, you know, and they just never had. Just not a great offensive feel. I like Shaka. You know, I think he was kind of a bad fit. I think now you have an elite coach. Like, Chris Beard's big time, man. Big, 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 big time. You know, he's Bob Knight without any sort of, you know, negativity and profanity towards players. Like, this guy's a different guy. No, I mean, you know, he was his manager and then his assistant, and, you know, he's pretty into it on the sidelines, but I can tell you that it's a different tone towards players. Like, it's very much involved. Like, you know, he coached in the ABA. It's a league I played in. And you're not going to MF players up and down. And you know, when you coach grown men, like, they just – so he's, like, the perfectly seasoned guy. Plus, he's coached, like, every – you know, like, every Texas stop along the way and every college, whatever, like
– Yeah.
You know, when Mac used to – when Mac Brown used to, like, celebrate, you remember how he always go, like, well, I want to thank the great high school coaches in the state of Texas, right? Remember how he'd always do that?
Yeah.
Like, congratulations, Mac, on winning the Cotton Bowl. Oh, first, I want to thank all the great high school coaches in the state of Texas. Like, Chris Beard actually knows them all. He's actually coached at many of these spots, you know? He's like, man, he doesn't have to BS. Like, that dude's Texas, you know? Loves Red Dirt music. Like, he's the deal. I'm telling you this, it's a Texas is on now. On. And it's going to be fascinating to see how good they can be and the choices that he makes. And, you know, he brought Chris Ogden back with him, who's really close friend. And now you get a guy who's just been a head coach. But that he also knows a different level of college basketball for recruiting. Because now recruiting is totally different in basketball than it is ever before. Right? Now you got to recruit your own players to come back. You have to make sure, you know, you go after the high school kids. And then you have to go recruit the portal. And the portal's like two different levels. One, you want high-level guys, but two, you want there's some low-level guys that have grown, that have matured, that have gotten way better, and you can go, if you get the right guy, you can go get a starter, a guy who averaged, you know, 20 somewhere else, and he can come in and average 10, 12 at your place, but you don't have to teach him how to play basketball because he's already been taught by somebody else. It's amazing.
Doug Gottlieb, brought to you by Bet Rivers, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Where does Tech and OU go in their coaches? I assume OU a little higher on the pecking order in terms of the job, but where do those guys go to get their next coach?
I don't know if it's higher in the, like, look, if you're going to pay anybody what you paid Beard, you can get whoever you want.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case. And they got a $4 million buyout or whatever, so Tech's okay financially. They're a good spot. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go Grant McCaslin, you know, at North Texas. He's really good. You know, there's several other coaches in the state that are pretty good. I mean, whereas I think OU, you know, everybody says they may go Porter Mosher, who's a very good coach. But, you know, yeah, I yawn, not just because I got out of bed, but I yawn because Porter, man, they play slow.
They do. They do play slow.
Well, I actually asked Shaka this, and Shaka's like, man, the way they call fouls, man, you can't press. Like, at OU, man, they were so much fun when they had Billy Tubbs. Like, I want somebody that comes into this league who's just like, hell with it. I'm just going to go recruit all those athletes in Texas. Mismatch, mis-sized guys, and just go, I'm going to throw 10 guys out there, you know, and get after them, press. Hasn't been done yet. I mean, you know, West Virginia did it for a little bit, but I think you could do it at one of these two places. I think you could get after it. You know, so there's other options out there. I think generally, yes, it would be. But I think the Tech job is a good job because people care, you know. And as much as, obviously, Austin becomes a destination, really, for recruits. Like, that's not even necessarily how you win, right? I mean, look at what Baylor's been able to do. You know, look at how they've been able to win. That's not Waco's not a destination on anybody's map. But it's close enough to Dallas. you know, they have a great eye for talent. They have a bunch of different four-year transfers, and you know, they're on the brink of playing for a national championship. So I think you can definitely be creative at either place and win. But I would expect, you know, I don't know what Kirby's going to do. I mean, hiring Beard was great. I was from a smaller school. Everybody thinks Grant's ready. I'd be surprised if he didn't get one of those two jobs.
Does Gonzaga belong in this discussion that some are starting with the all-time great teams?
Not really. I mean, you have to. It's hard to. I'm trying to think of the proper parallel, but I can't right now. Because I do think that college football, though it's a little watered down with so many more teams, the quality is probably as good or better than it used to be. That's hard for old folks to get to. I don't think college basketball is that way, because there's literally twice as many teams there used to be in Division I. And all these guys are one and done or pros, or the ones that are still around that are older, like they stood around for a reason. But look,
does Gonzaga play slow too?
No, they don't. They play fast. I haven't had coffee yet. That's me pre-coffee.
Are you in Indy or are you in L.A.?
I'm in L.A.
Yeah, you knew he was in L.A.
6:15. I can't.
I'm snuggled up in a bug and a rug, man. Anyway.
Can we Zoom this right now?
Sure, we can Zoom it.
Troy, send him the Zoom.
Send him the Zoom. Like, get this thing
send
going.
Him the Zoom.
Extreme close-up. No, they're really, really good. And I think what you have to do is you have to contextualize it by saying, hey, man, they wouldn't have beaten Gonzaga 5 years ago, right? They wouldn't have, or 10 years ago. But how dominant are they for this season in comparison to other teams for their great season? The problem is their league's better than people's perception of it is, but it's really hard to compare it with a big boy league. Now, in fairness, like when UNLV in the 90s was great, or 80s and 90s was great, they were playing in a similarly lesser league to everybody else. You know, Memphis, same thing when Calipari was there. But to compare it to Kentucky a couple years ago, who lost the Final Four undefeated, to compare it to UCLA in 95, lost the two games, we just load, they had nine pros on that team. Like, it's really hard. I think they're great. I think they're fun. I think we're on a collision course with Baylor and Gonzaga, which is great. We're supposed to have the game back in November. Now we finally have it now. They're maybe not far and away, but pretty close to far and away the two best teams. And now Baylor's kind of got their sea legs back after having to shut down with COVID. Like, those are two really good teams, two really good representatives of college basketball. You know, one team was built kind of from the ground up in Gonzaga. The other team was built from the ashes in Baylor. So, I mean, these are two good stories. I wouldn't say they're an all-time great team, but considering everything these kids have been through, it's a pretty great accomplishment. And to be undefeated. And it's not like they avoided people in the non-conference. Like, hey, they played some and they tried to play more. It's a pretty special story.
I assume most would not have UCLA pulling the upset. That would be pretty remarkable. I know Tiger's going to try to slow it down and all, but is Houston a real threat to Baylor, or is Baylor that much better than they are too?
I mean, I think both teams are a threat. I don't expect, you know, that Gonzaga game that we had in the Elite Eight against USC. I think both teams are a threat. And both teams are a threat because they can really defend. But I do think that Baylor is substantially better than Houston. They just have, you know, they're throwing out four dudes that can shoot 40 from three. And then, you know, the strength of Houston is defense and rebounding. And Baylor's a really good rebounding team. And you know, you have Mark Vidal, who doesn't get every board, but sure seems like it. Like, yeah, I don't know what the line is as of now. Like, I haven't checked Bet Rivers. But I do think Baylor's a good 6 to 8 points, kind of better, and it could get worse or it could be super close. But just Houston's going to struggle, I think, to score against them late clock, whereas Baylor has more options to turn to.
Doug Gottlieb brought to you by Bet Rivers. It's 5, Baylor by 5, UCLA a 14-point dog.
14 points.
I know, right? It's a lot.
14 points. And it doesn't seem like enough.
I know. You can't put them high enough. You can't put the Zags high enough. Real quick, this UNC job, I think it's the best job in the league in the sport. But yeah, but there's no Roy Williams this year. Like, there's no guy who is ready to take that job. That would Jay Wright say yes? I mean, is it going to be Hubert Davis? Who's taking that job?
I mean, it's long been thought that Wes Miller would be the guy there. Wes was he grew up in Carolina. He played a year at James Madison, which is in, I've been there, Harrisonburg, Virginia. It's okay. I was literally just there. I did the CAA championship game. They have a brand new arena. It's cool. And I mean, the whole thing is nice. But so then he decided, I want to go walk on at North Carolina. He walked on, became a starter, got a scholarship. And then he's gotten into coaching, and he's a stud. He's the head coach at UNC Greensboro. I've always thought it was either Hubert, if you wanted it, or Wes Miller, or you could do, you know, Hubert and Wes Miller is like the head coach in waiting. I don't know why you do that, because Wes would love to coach his alma mater, I'm sure. That's really it with Carolina. Carolina's always been in the family. Mm-hmm. Right, and the family is Jerry Stackhouse, but that's a disaster. Vanderbilt, Rasheed Wallace is coaching some. Like King Rice has done a good job in college, and he's a former point guard there. Like, it's kind of it. I mean, I think they would love to find somebody. You know, have a diverse hire. I mean, they had Charlie Scott was a great player there. He's the first African American player in ACC history. Like, I do think they would like to show some forward thinking. But I just don't like Jerry Stackhouse has done a bad job at Vanderbilt in 2 years. It's been bad. Like, I can't see them doing that. And Bubba's really good. They're that's the one thing about these jobs, guys, is that there's some clown shows as athletic directors, right? There's some guys you meet, you're like, oh boy, that guy, oh boy, right? But you look at Tech, like Kirby's a big time AD. Look at OU, like Joe Castiglione. As good as there is. And then, you know, Bubba Cunningham, I mean, he's the one who got talked Mac back into coming back. Like, he's big, big time. I don't think he does that where he talks like a George Carl or somebody, family, whatever, to come back. But, I mean, I think it's going to be Wes Miller. I don't know if it's as good a job as it's being positioned as, because here's the problem with those jobs. So North Carolina, it's not a place to recruit transfers. They've tried this transfer thing. And tried to do it, and it has not really worked to much success for them. Carolina is about, hey, we're North Carolina. We want to come, and we're Argyle, and win a couple national championships, and then go on to the pros. They're like, yeah. The problem is that now you're recruiting high school Americans. Well, half the high school Americans are going to go pro now. You know, and so you're left with other ones who may end up having that envy, you know, midway through the year. Like, there's not a lot of Cade Cunninghams out there. And most Cade Cunninghams are going to go play for G League Select. So it makes your job more difficult. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're following Roy Williams.
Doug.
80% of his games.
Doug, you're breaking up a little bit, so we're going to let you get back to bed. We appreciate the early wake up.
I have to get up, and I have to get coffee.
All right, go work out.
Go get that workout in. Go get a Tybo in or T25, whatever it is that you're doing these days.
Guys, have you guys ever tried CrossFit?
No.
Tell him, RJ, what you think. Don't be afraid of offending him.
Don't do that. You're not into that, are you? You're better than that.
No, of course not. But that's how CrossFit guy is. They always try and talk to me about it.
All right, I love it.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Appreciate it.
Tell me the CrossFit thing.
Well, the CrossFit, you don't want to do CrossFit. I mean, you're in a cult. It's a non-religious cult. That's what it is.
Isn't that what sports radio is?
We're done here.
Hey, love you guys.
Thank you, Doug.
I like Dirk, but you know.
I know. It's right.
Mom
there's
in the morning. I could do FM late night radio like Wolfman Jack.
Our next segment is going to be about this interview, just so you know.
Bye.
So you can tune in on the Odyssey.
Odyssey.
That was amazing for all the wrong reasons.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.